What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of The Night Shift. I'm your host, as always, Zach Hernandez, and today I got such a good episode for you guys. I didn't come out with one last week. I got super busy on Tuesday night, which is when I record these. I record them Tuesday nights and upload Wednesday mornings. I got super swamped on Tuesday night with a bunch of schoolwork, so I really wasn't able to come out with an episode, but I'm here now. Ready for some talk about week three, because that's where we are. Week three just concluded, and a couple of things I want to talk to you guys about. So should be a lot of fun. If you're listening, I really appreciate it. You know, if you're on YouTube, you can hit that subscribe button, that like button, leave a comment, hit those post notifications so you never miss a new episode. And you can follow us on all social medias like you see here on the bottom too, on Instagram at thenightshift.pod, on TikTok at thenightshiftpod, and on Twitter at thenightshift, two T's at the beginning, two T's at the end of that. And on YouTube, we're at The Night Shift Pod. The link should be in the description for all of those, pretty much everywhere. So wherever you're listening, you should find a link there should be a link with all the links. You'll find it there. There should be something in the description of wherever you're listening to this and seeing this, where you can find us on all social media platforms. So we really, really appreciate it, or I really, really appreciate you guys tuning in here. It's always a good time hopping on a pod here, and I got a couple of things I want to talk about from week three. And the first main thing that I want to talk about are all my takeaways from the 49ers in week three. So the Niners took on the Los Angeles Rams last week, ended up losing. Yeah, they ended up losing 27-24. They pretty much had the game in the bag the whole time and then choked it, which is kind of what the Niners tend to do. So you're going to hear a lot of Niner fans making the excuse of how we were essentially on our B team because we had no George Kittle, we had no Deebo Samuel, we had no Christian McCaffrey, and we ended up losing. The Rams didn't have Cooper Kupp or Puka Nacua, so they were on their B stringers when it comes to wide receivers as well. And I think they had a couple of injuries in their secondary as well. So it was a pretty much just a two teams with star power who were lacking some of that star power. But the Niners have all pros everywhere. So when you have 7 or 8 all pros, oh no, now you only have 4. It's like, I mean, we still had what? Trent Williams, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner. I think Hufanga made an all-pro. He was finally back after injury. Brandon Ayuk was there too. Brock Purdy was still there. The Niners had their guys, and they just lost. And they just took an L. And I'm here to give you my takeaways from the game. So, first off, it was an ugly game towards the end. For the most part, in the beginning, it was fine. The Niners were actually kind of running the show. But no, it got ugly. First takeaway, Ronnie Bell should be cut. Yes, that is entirely true. Ronnie Bell should not be on the team anymore because of how terrible his hands are. One thing that, I've never played professional football. I didn't even play high school football. I've only played like flag football, and I'm dang good at it though. But I have amazing hands. Like, I can catch pretty much anything. I don't need gloves. I can just catch it. You can ask the people that know me, that play football with me. They know that's just one thing I do so well. I get crushed out there on a football field, but I can catch it. I am highly confident that I have better hands than Ronnie Bell. That guy needs to go. He drops every time he's in the game. He drops the ball. I don't even know why he's seeing the field. Granted, no Deebo Samuel, no George Kittle. So I kind of understand maybe relying on him just a tiny, tiny bit, even though I like some of our rookies better. But that's just a whole conversation that I can get into. Ronnie Bell needs to go. He can't catch the football. And then Brock Purdy completely dimed him up on that last drive in the end of the game. A perfect throw, and it hit him right smack in the hands and fell to the ground. Dropped it. He ended up... that was just bad. I mean, it was just terrible. And that's not the first time we've seen it. He had 2 other drops in that game alone. He's just not a good wide receiver. He can't catch. Maybe he should be a defensive back. I don't know. But he should not be a wide receiver because he can't catch the football, or he just needs to get cut and then go work on it. He should be off the team. Will he? I don't know. The Niners don't often hold guys accountable. But he should be off the team because Ronnie Bell was a big reason that that final drive didn't have any success. Granted, should it have come down to that? Absolutely not. I'm not solely blaming this game on Ronnie Bell, but I just thought of another, takeaway. But no, there needs to be some accountability. There has to be. The next thing, I don't know if Brandon Ayuk was worth the money. Listen, when Brandon Ayuk was paid this offseason, I was on the train right away. I was like, you know what? I'm not against giving Brandon Ayuk the money because he honestly, in my opinion, was like a top 10 wide receiver when it came to just skill set. When it came to the pure skill set of a wide receiver, I thought Brandon Ayuk was like top 10, 12-ish, right? I mean, but he's better than Deebo Samuel when it comes to being a wide receiver. But he looks bad. Is this a product of him missing the entirety of training camp? Likely, but I have a hard time believing if you were to throw Justin Jefferson out of training camp and then put him in by week three, he'd still be terrible. I don't believe it. I think he'd be thriving by week three. I think guys like Davante Adams would be thriving. Guys like AJ Brown, these guys who are deserving of this big time money, it's not going to take him 3 weeks. I mean, he's losing his job to Juwan Jennings right now, and it's ugly. There was no Deebo Samuel or George Kittle. Brandon Ayuk was poised for a huge game, and he had, what, 5 catches for 43 yards? Granted, he had like 10 targets. I think he had like 10 targets out of Brock Purdy's 30, but he should have more catches, and he drops the ball. He also drops the ball. He's literally had so many plays where he has just bounced off his hands. That's why you don't miss training camp. Was Brandon Ayuk worth the money? I don't know. Another takeaway is Juwan Jennings just straight up better. I mean, obviously Juwan Jennings has been better this year, is in a lot of that coming from yesterday, but he's doing things that Brandon Ayuk is just so not doing. Like Juwan Jennings was going up and making some ridiculous catches on Sunday, and Brandon Ayuk is sitting here just completely, sorry to adjust the mic, is just not making plays like that. But Juwan Jennings is leaping up, catching balls over guys, like doing fantastic stuff, and Brandon Ayuk just isn't. Is Juwan Jennings like is making a flipping fraction of what Ayuk is making? Is he better? I'm going to be patient with Brandon Ayuk because I liked him a lot before this whole contract situation happened. But it's not looking good right now. I mean, he looks bad. He literally looks like a bad wide receiver. So call it what you want, but Juwan Jennings right now might be the wide receiver one moving forward as Brandon Ayuk, or as Deebo Samuel's injured and Ayuk is still sucking. Next, if you didn't know this by now, I don't know where you've been, but another takeaway, Brock Purdy is good. I mean, Brock Purdy is a legitimate starting quarterback. Is he on the level of Josh Allen? No. This guy's good. I if you haven't realized it by now, you should probably figure out what you're actually watching, because Brock Purdy is a good quarterback in this league. And not that I'd say I'm skeptical. I was skeptical to pay him big money, but it was like, okay, he does have a lot of all pros around him. And I recognize that, but I also recognize the things that Brock Purdy can do outside of that. And, you know, coming into this game, it was like, you know what? Deebo Samuel, no George Kittle, no Christian McCaffrey. Like, Brock's going to have to do a lot of this work on his own. Let's see if he's really going to be worth that big-time contract we're going to inevitably pay him in a year from now. And, I mean, he showed out. Brock Purdy was, like, one of the only bright spots in this game for the 49ers. He looked amazing. He was making the throws. He was calling off Shanahan sometimes. You know, like, Brock Purdy can thrive when it's not just, I got to listen to what Kyle says and I got to stand in the pocket and make the right read. It's like, Brock, you can roll out. You can figure some things out on your own because you're a playmaker. And he does that. And when he does that, he thrives even more. Purdy's legit. If you didn't know by now, I don't know what you've been watching, but that's just a slight takeaway. I took that away last season, but just another one from this game. Without the all pros, Brock is still delivering big time. Another takeaway is the secondary and the pass rush both suck. This is now coming after Javon Hargrave. I was just reading something about Hassan Reddick. Javon Hargrave is out now for the year after tearing his tricep. So granted, Javon Hargrave has been slightly underwhelming since coming here, especially this season so far. But I feel like because there were a lot of videos going around of Javon Hargrave yesterday or last game on Sunday, kind of like lollygagging during plays, like showing no intensity and just kind of like playing loose and not really caring, which was gross, number one. But now it kind of makes sense. I mean, he was probably dealing with this. I would definitely imagine he was dealing with this during the game. And I think that was a big part of potentially why he hasn't been performing well, or at least last game. So now there's no Javon Hargrave. And this pass rush is just not getting any pressure on the quarterback. I mean, they need somebody else besides Bosa because Bosa gets held. We know this. And Bosa gets doubled. We need another effective pass rusher on the opposite side of Bosa to be able to get to the quarterback and apply that pressure. But this pass rush isn't doing that. They're just not. They're barely applying pressure. Our secondary's been weak for years. And it's not great. And actually, it's pretty bad so far this season. I mean, they were getting beat. Our DBs are getting beat. Jair Brown, I mean, some of these guys are just getting beat when you really don't expect them to. And it's been ugly. And especially if you don't have a pass rush and you're giving the quarterback more time to throw the ball, it gives the wide receivers more time to beat the DBs. And that's what's happening. The 49ers defense is not good right now. It's there's really one bright spot so far in this 49ers defense this season so far, and that's Fred Warner. Nick Bosa is obviously doing his thing. He's just always getting double teamed. So he's doing something for the line. I know that. But Fred Warner has been the single most effective player on arguably the 49ers entire team this year. He's been insane, and he's the only bright spot on this defense right now from what we've seen so far. So this defense needs some work. I don't know if they're going to go make a move or what. They need to figure something out, though, because they're not applying pressure and the DBs are not staying with the wide receivers enough, and it's gotten ugly a couple of times. Another takeaway will be that Jake Moody still has the yips. It's a 55-yard field goal, and he barely missed it. Yeah, I know, but I don't trust this guy when it comes to the big kick. He's going to have to make one day in the playoffs or something. You know, he missed one in the Super Bowl. He missed one in the Super Bowl, and he shanked a clutch field goal here. How good of a kicker are you if you're not making the clutch field goals? I'm not a big Jake Moody guy. I think he's got the yips all the time. Something about him just gives me the yip vibe, even if he makes them, because if I'm not mistaken, he made every field goal before this game so far. And he had the one, I think it was week one, where he hit six of them. But no, dude, when it comes to Jake Moody, he has the yips. And if he needs to hit a field goal in the crunch time, I'm not trusting it. I'm just not. That's kind of where I'm at with Jake Moody. Way to waste a third round pick on a kicker who's got the yips all the time, Kyle. Should have just paid Robbie Gould, but no, they're not. They're going to take a third round pick on a rookie kicker because he can kick it far. Okay, well, you still got to make it through the uprights. This is just general, but the Niners have work to do. This is not a contending team from what it looks like right now. Yes, they're injured, and I get that. There's no McCaffrey, who's arguably one of the more valuable players on the entire roster. Debo Samuel's not there. George Kittle wasn't there. But they have work to do because you're not going to get by with this defense, and you're not going to get by if Brandon Ayuk still sucks like this. And you're not going to get by if Kyle Shanahan doesn't know to really call a game and continues to get outcoached. This team has work to do if they want to contend for a Super Bowl again. And right now, they just have to figure it out. They got to get healthy, and they got to figure it out as well. It's there's a lot going on here for the Niners, but positivity isn't something that is going on. So there's that. And then my final takeaway from this 49ers week 3 game is just another reminder that the 49ers should have won the Super Bowl last year. They should have won it last year. They're never going to have an opportunity as golden as it was last year. They were relatively healthy outside of Talanoa Hufanga, who got injured during the season, and then Dre Greenlaw, who got hurt right in the Super Bowl, which was just obviously we know how devastating that was and how random it was. Every team's always going to have a guy here and there get hurt. That was the healthiest the Niners have been. That was the best team the 49ers had. Their quarterback's still making $900,000. And they blew it. Kyle Shanahan blew it, actually. So he does what he does best. He did what he does best, which is choke leads and choke big games away. The 49ers should have won it last season. That was the year to do it. They're never going to have an opportunity like that again. If they come up against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid in the Super Bowl again, they're just going to lose. That's the 49ers kryptonite. I honestly have no confidence in the team. If they end up making the Super Bowl and it's not Kansas City and we end up going against the Texans and CJ Stroud, or I mean, the Bengals look bad. I don't even want to say them. Buffalo looks really good. I mean, I'd still be nervous. I'd have a little more confidence, though. But I just, nothing, it was never going to get as easy as it was last year. Not that it's easy, but it was never, that was the best path they had to a championship the entire time. The team was absolutely star-studded, and it still is, but we were healthy last year. And right now, we're just not healthy. And that's the game of football. You're going to have times when you're just not healthy because it's such a brutal game. So last year we should have took full advantage and we didn't because Kyle Shanahan decided to choke it again, abandon the run game in the third quarter, didn't really give the ball to McCaffrey. That's a whole other thing. I have a full episode on what went wrong for the 49ers in the Super Bowl. And it's about 30 minutes of me ranting about Kyle Shanahan. I don't really have confidence that Kyle Shanahan will ever win a Super Bowl with the 49ers. I just think that he has too big of an ego. I think that his play calling comes back to bite us. I think he just gets stupid and gets conservative in the Super Bowl. And he's a good coach because he can get you there, but he'll never win it. So the 49ers should have won it last year. Bingo. That's all I got to say about the Niners. Next thing we're going to hit today, we're going to get to the top five MVP candidates so far through week three. So I got five guys who are on my MVP radar if the season ended today. If the season ended right now, who would win MVP? This is my top five. It's subjective. This could go different ways. I was flopping guys around. I will say, though, it's all quarterbacks. I was thinking of a couple guys that could have made it, but I got five quarterbacks. And they may surprise you, maybe in the order or who some of them are, but let's get into it. So the top five MVP candidates so far. I'll go from five to one. Number five, I got Patrick Mahomes. Okay. I'll read off his stats. He's thrown for, this is all through three games, 659 passing yards. He's got five passing touchdowns with four interceptions. So not the greatest ratio. His QBR is 89.9, which is definitely the lowest of the other guys I have on this list, but he's 3-0. Okay, he's winning games. He's doing what he needs to do. He's gotten sloppy a couple of times passing the football. But overall, Patrick Mahomes is still Patrick Mahomes. He's doing what he does best, which is win football games and put the Kansas City Chiefs in the best situation to win. They had a close game on Sunday Night Football against Atlanta this weekend, but they end up squeaking it out when Atlanta had a chance right at the end, but couldn't get it done. Do you want to call it? Should have been a pass interference when I don't even remember who it was, but it was on Kyle Pitts in the end zone. A lot of people are saying it should have been called pass interference, and I don't totally disagree with it. But anyways, the Chiefs are winning games. Mahomes is still winning. Five passing touchdowns to four interceptions. He's still doing his thing, 3-0, so I got to give him some props there. He's number five. Number four, I got Jaden Daniels, the rookie, second overall pick to the Washington Commanders, is my number four on my MVP radar. 664 passing yards, only two passing touchdowns, but three rushing touchdowns. So get that total up to five. Has not thrown an interception yet. This guy has not thrown an interception through three games. Kind of reminds of CJ Stroud a little bit last season, right? When it was Bryce Young and then CJ Stroud, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels, I don't know, call it what you want. Jaden Daniels had a fantastic game last night against the Cincinnati Bengals, made a couple of insanely clutch and really difficult throws, made him look flipping easy. Jaden Daniels has been phenomenal through 3 weeks. He's led the Commanders to a 2-1 record, and which, I mean, that was kind of unexpected for me. So got a shout out to Jaden Daniels there. 111.8 QBR, been dicing it up. Number three is Derek Carr, and he didn't have a fantastic week three, only threw for 142 yards, one touchdown to one interception, and ended up losing to the Eagles as they only put up, I think it was 12 points. And it was not a great game, but Derek Carr was by far the best player in football through the first 2 weeks of the season. So he's for sure making this list somewhere. You could have put him higher, could have put him lower. I'm putting him at three because he did have not a great week three, but still, this guy had a phenomenal weeks one and two. The Saints are 2-1. They looked historic through the first 2 weeks. You know, they played Carolina and everyone's like, well, it could have been a fluke. They're going against the Panthers. Then they lit up the Dallas Cowboys defense through two games. They did not turn the ball over. They scored on every single drive, either a touchdown or a field goal. Absolutely insane. Derek Carr deserves to be here. He's got six passing touchdowns to two interceptions, 115.7 QBR. Derek Carr has been doing his thing there in New Orleans. He's my number three. My number two, I got another NFC quarterback, Sam Darnold. How weird. And if you'd have told me that Sam Darnold would have been number two in my MVP voting before the season through 3 weeks, I'd have called you nuts, because I have never been a big fan of Sam Darnold. I thought he was good coming out of college. I thought he was good on the Jets until he actually started to play. The Jets didn't give him much. I get it. Sam Darnold has always had potential to be good. The one biggest fault of Sam Darnold is when it comes to that second read, he relies heavily on the first read, and you can see that, but not this year. Because he's been making plays, and it's not always to the first read. And Sam Darnold has looked phenomenal through 3 weeks. He's got 657 passing yards, eight passing touchdowns. I didn't check this, but I'm going to check it right now. I'm pretty positive he leads the league. I'm pretty positive he leads the league through. Yeah, he leads the league in passing touchdowns with eight. He's got eight to two interceptions. He's 3-0. He's 3-0 after playing, yeah, the Giants, they suck, the 49ers, and the Houston Texans. Two, we want to call them Super Bowl contenders. He is showing out right now. Mr. Sam Darnold on the Minnesota Vikings. We got to put some respect on his name because I haven't in the past. This guy is balling. Sam Darnold is my number two on the MVP radar. Let's get to number one. Let's get to number one. This guy's looked insane. This guy's just looked so good. Josh Allen. Josh Allen is number one on my MVP list this year. 600 or through 3 weeks, 635 passing yards, seven pass touchdowns, no interceptions, two rushing touchdowns for Mr. Josh Allen. 3-0, the Bills are. Had an insane game. Yeah, they played last night on Monday Night Football. This is being recorded on Tuesday night. They played last night on Monday Night Football. He had a nuts first half. Ended the game scoring 47 points against the Jags. Had 263 yards with four touchdowns on a 142 passer rating last night. QBR, excuse me. Josh Allen, that dude has just looked fantastic everywhere. The Bills look like the best team in football right now, I'd say. And, it's not super duper close, I don't think. Josh Allen has been amazing in everything he's done. The numbers just speak for themselves with a total of nine touchdowns with no interceptions. Even through week one, he wasn't great. Didn't have a fantastic week one. It was almost like the Bills didn't really need him though to do a whole lot. Week two. And, but no, Josh Allen has stepped up immensely, still led the team to a 3-0 start, and he's got to be my number one so far through 3 weeks of the season, Mr. Josh Allen. So that is my top five MVP radar through week three, going Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Derek Carr, Jaden Daniels, Patrick Mahomes. Top five. Can't wait to see how this fluctuates throughout the season because we're only 3 weeks in and these guys might all end up off the list. Who knows? Really interesting. All right. I got one more thing I'm going to hit with you guys, and it's nothing about week three. It's actually about week four. We're going to hit every week four game. I love doing this. We're going to go to every week four game. I'm pulling it up right now. I got my schedule. I'm giving you picks off the dome, by the way. I haven't looked at these games yet. And here we go. Starting with Thursday night, Cowboys Giants. Cowboys look underwhelming so far. They are 1-2. The Giants are also 1-2. Don't get it twisted. The Cowboys should win this ball game. The Giants have been carried by Malik Nabers. Daniel Jones actually had a decently solid week three. But no, let's not get fooled here. The Cowboys are the better team overall. I know they've been underwhelming, losing to the Saints and then losing to the Ravens last week. They should win this game, and they will. The Cowboys are going to win. It's a divisional matchup. You know this can always be a little dicey. Give me the Cowboys to beat the Giants. Let's move on to the morning slate on Sunday. Saints-Falcons. And the Falcons are actually favored by 1.5. That's interesting to me. Give me the Saints here. I think the Saints are the better team right now. I'm not loving even what I'm seeing so far from the Atlanta offense. I don't love it. I don't love what I've been seeing. I'm not loving the way that they've been moving the ball. Obviously, they almost took down Kansas City on Sunday Night Football. But I know the Saints had a more, they came a little bit down to earth in week three. But I favor the Saints here in a division matchup. Again, could go a couple of different ways here. I'm going to lean New Orleans, maybe a little Derek Carr bounce back action through week four. Rams-Bears is interesting. Rams just beat the 49ers. The Bears are the Bears. I mean, they got a rookie quarterback who is showing that he's a rookie. The Rams are decimated with injuries. This is a game I don't have a lot of interest in watching, but I will because Kyron Williams is playing and he's my RB2 in my fantasy league. I'm going to go Rams here. I'm convincing myself. I'm going Rams to beat the Bears. The Bears are actually favored in this game by 3. Interesting, Vegas. I'm going Rams. It's tough. I mean, I don't have a whole lot of reasoning behind that. They're injured like crazy. I just like Stafford more than I like Williams. The Rams defense is not as good as the Bears defense, though. This is just a game that I don't really know what's going to happen. It's kind of two unpredictable teams. I'm going to put my money on the Rams. Vikings, Packers. Do the Vikings go down? I'm going to say this. The Vikings have looked better than the Packers, but the Packers have won 2 games with Malik Willis. If Jordan Love comes back this week in a divisional matchup, give me Green Bay. Okay? If Malik Willis is still the quarterback, and granted, he hasn't looked as awful as I initially thought he was gonna. I'll take Minnesota, though. But I'm going to take Jordan Love, I think, and the Packers. I'll take the Minnesota finally losing their first game of the season in a divisional matchup. Green Bay's still good. They've won their last 2 games with Malik Willis at the helm. And if Jordan Love can come back, I think they have a shot, too. Can the Vikings their first loss? Okay, next. Steelers-Colts. Steelers are also 3-0. Colts are 1-2. I got to go Steelers. I think the Colts don't look as good as I thought they would. Anthony Richardson has been making too many mistakes. The Steelers' defense is looking really, really good. Justin Fields is doing enough to lead the Steelers to wins. This defense, I think, will give Anthony Richardson too many problems, and I think that's when we're going to see Pittsburgh shoot to 4-0. Man, that's crazy. Broncos versus the Jets. Give me the Jets here. I think the Broncos game was a fluke last week, which was annoying because I had Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, and the Tampa Bay defense all on my team, and they all sucked. All of them. Every single one of them was terrible. And I was happy because they were going against the Broncos. You know, I wasn't really happy with Mike Evans because going against Pat Surtain, I didn't know how great that would have been. I thought Baker could have maybe made something happen, and I picked up the Bucks defense. I streamed them because they were going against Bo Nix. Guess I made a mistake there. But give me the Jets here. I think it was a fluke last week. I think the Jets are just the overall the better team. Eagles, Buccaneers. I think the Bucks are going to bounce back. Okay. I think the Bucks are going to bounce back because I actually have faith in the Bucks. I think their offense, their defense is skeptical, but I think their offense is just really, really good. And I think that I think Baker Mayfield can do some dirty work against the Eagles and make some things happen. So I'm going to go Bucks over Philly, which is another upset because Philly's favored by 2.5. Bengals, Panthers. I mean, Cincinnati's got to win their first game, right? Carolina looked good, though, with Andy Dalton. Man, Bengals start 0-4. Carolina looked good. The Raiders suck. I know. Give me the Bengals. I don't see Joe Burrow starting 0-4. I don't see Joe Burrow starting 0-4. Sounds too crazy. Give me the Bengals. Jags, Texans. The Jags are bad. Trevor Lawrence is not great. Is not great. Houston should win this game. Underwhelming week 3, but Houston should win this game. Commanders, Cardinals. That's actually kind of an interesting game. That's one I would love to watch. 2-1 Commanders to the 1-2 Cardinals. Jaden Daniels versus Kyler Murray. Arizona's favored by 3.5. Kind of a solid game here. I'm gonna go Arizona. But I think that's gonna be a solid game there. I do think that's gonna be a really good game because Jaden Daniels looks good. And the Commanders offense isn't terrible. And Jaden Daniels, like he's such a dual threat, and I don't think teams really know exactly what to do yet. Browns, Raiders, yuck. Just disgusting. I have no idea. I have no idea. Pick your poison. I don't even know. That's a gross game. Browns, I'll pick the Browns. The Raiders offense is not good. The Raiders offense is not good. The Browns offense is not good. Browns have a better defense. Okay, we'll go Browns. That's a gross game. The Raiders are favored by 1. That Browns offense is putrid. That Browns offense is not good. Chiefs, Chargers. Gotta go Chiefs. There's not really much there, especially if Herbert's not in. Bills, Ravens. I'm all in on Josh Allen and the Bills right now. I think they're the best team in football, and I think they ride this wave and they push to 4-0. Ravens falling to 1-3 is kind of crazy, but that's where I'm rocking. That's a really good Sunday night game, by the way. That's going to be fun to watch. 2 Monday night games again, which I would rather the Monday night games be like an actual doubleheader where it's like one game at 3, one game at 6, rather than 4:30 start time and 5:15 start time. So they're essentially just going at the same time, like it's a Sunday afternoon. No, it would be cool if it was like Monday, like doubleheader, at least like overlap by like an hour at the minimum or at the most. I'm not with the 4:30 and then, oh, we're going to start another game right after. Kind of weird. Anyways, Titans, Dolphins, yuck. The Dolphins suck without Tua, and the Titans suck with Will Levis. This is a game, again, don't really want any part of in any situation or reality of the world. Maybe I go Miami. Will Levis is a pick six machine. Maybe he throws like 2 of them. I'm going to go Miami, but I don't know. Without Tua, with who's even going to be? Tyler Huntley, Skylar Thompson is hurt. I don't know who it's going to be. Whoever it is, though, not going to be great, but I'll give it to them. And then the Monday night game, the good one, will be Seahawks Lions. That's a good game-ish. Give me Detroit, though. Seahawks have kind of had a fraudulent 3-0. And again, they've played who's in front of them. I'm not one to say that, you know, but I mean, their schedule. They haven't played a good team yet. And they played the Broncos, who aren't good. They played the Dolphins without Tua, who have proven to be completely awful. And then they played the Patriots. So I'm, you know, give me the Lions here. And if Seattle beats Detroit here on Monday Night Football, I'll give them their flowers and they're legit for sure. But give me Detroit. I think they're the better team. So those are my week four predictions. And that'll do it for this episode. Kind of a shorter one. We're about 35 minutes in right now. And just had to get some, definitely wanted to get some content out for you guys. If you're still listening, you must have enjoyed something. So I'd really appreciate it if you left some sort of review, like, subscription, comment. If you're watching on YouTube, like I said earlier, you can hit the like button, you can hit the share button, you can hit the comment button and go comment something, how I did, how you feel, how you're feeling about week four and all the things that I talked about. Hit that bell and you can be up to date with all the notifications that you will get when I post an episode. But you can follow us on the social media, on Instagram at thenightshift.pod, on TikTok at thenightshiftpod, on Twitter at thenightshift, 2 T's at the beginning, 2 T's at the end, and we're on YouTube at thenightshiftpod. There will be links everywhere there. Wherever you're listening to this, it'd be nice if you left a review for me, a little 5-star action, a little thumbs up, whatever the grading system is. Share the pod with your friends and family. Let them know football season's in full swing. We're going to be trying to hit you with an episode every week. I was totally planning on making an episode. I came home ready to make an episode, and then I had homework that I was really getting in stuck in, and then I had a class at night, and then it just got chaotic and I just had no time. But here I am, week three. I'm gonna get this up to you guys. Are probably gonna be listening to this on Wednesday morning, and this will probably come out about on Wednesday at 1:00. So again, if you're listening right now, I really, really appreciate you tuning in. Like always, tell some people about the pod. It's always a good time. And until next time, thank you. That'll be it for me. I'm out. Peace.